so that Christ's power may rest on me.
We now turn to Philippians 4, just a few verses 4 to 7. It's on page 1831. Philippians 4, 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's really good to be here today, and really good to be able to share what God has for us.
You're not sorry.
We'll be talking today about defeating discouragement and concern. And just before we start, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes for a moment, and that we could pray together and ask God to bring to our hearts, to bring to our minds, things that He wants to heal today, things that He will start to stir inside of us, because He always wants to transform what is tears and sadness and misconceptions and misunderstanding in something useful to Him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, in the meditation from my heart and the words from my mouth that may be pleased to You. And, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters now. I cry out to You asking that You may bring life out of concern and struggling and discouragement, that in areas where the enemy of our souls and, Lord, our own problems and afflictions would lead us to a path of sadness, I pray now that today You may transform all of this by Your joy, by Your anointing, that we may see, Lord, every desperation just being destroyed and put to the floor, and that we may see, Lord, that You are the Lord, and that You are here. So, Father, we pray today that we may see, that we may open ourselves to You and to Your Word. That's what we pray, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 And amen. Amen. So we just read this text. So I'd like to start to talk to you about how do you feel when you face discouragement and desperation? How do you feel when you face that? How do you feel when instead of pure joy and willingness and let's go, you are just not coping with something? Because let me tell you something, we all have that. We all have those days that we look and say, I wish I could just avoid the situation now. I wish that I could just be invisible. Or I wish that that meeting would never happen. Or I wish that this person that's coming my way on the street would just enter the next door. I know you are maybe too good not to feel those things, but sometimes I do. I need to confess that. Or sometimes we look for the next door to enter. And I tell you, one day I was walking, and not here, and I saw someone coming to me, and I said, oh no, that person today, I'll enter the next door. And I just enter the next door and start to look things around, and all of a sudden I just raised the person, hello, Louis! And you know, how do you feel when you face discouragement and desperation? How do you feel when things doesn't work in the way that you want? What do you feel when you just can't cope with something? When things are not just victory or healing? Because let me tell you, I believe God can heal. He healed me I'm supposed to be blind and I'm not. And praise to God, I love to share this testimony. But how do you cope when in another sense, like I did, for 15 years I struggled with a lot of problems in my stomach to the point that I had to have a drastic surgery and I could die. And I was praying day after day for 15 years for healing and never happened. But the opposite was getting worse and worse and worse until to the moment that I had constantly the taste of blood in my mouth. I'm happy you're not eating anything in the next half an hour. And by the way, I forgot to put our chicken in the oven, so you're not eating anything for the next few hours. But the thing is, how do you cope with that? Because I love to preach when everything goes right, and I love to pray for healing like I was in Nigeria a few weeks ago and someone was healed. And from blindness start to see again. Amen. Let's share those testimonies. One time when Lenny was with a problem with her colon and I prayed and she was healed. Great, let's share these testimonies. When we went to Haiti and a voodoo priest and a voodoo temple accept Jesus and close that voodoo temple and now it's a church. Amen. Let's share all that testimony. But how do we cope when we preach and no one accepts anything? How do we cope when, like I said, we pray for healing time and time again and while we listen instead of stand and go your way, you are healed, we listen to the Lord saying, don't worry, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Oh Lord, how I struggle when I read that on the Bible. If there's someone that really deserves to be healed, was Paul. We don't know exactly what the thorn on his skin was, on his flesh was. But most scholars believe that he was almost blind. That's why he never wrote his own letter. Someone was writing to him. Amen. A lot easier Portuguese, right? I have two ladies that speak Portuguese today. It's a lot easier. They will all learn Portuguese in heaven. We speak Portuguese. So that's why you will see different styles from letter to letter, because someone was writing in behalf of Paul. He was saying it, people were writing. People believed he was almost blind. If there's someone that deserved was Paul, the man was amazing. But this man was praying, and even the Bible says that the shadow of Paul. Can you imagine, Chris? I pass here, and just my shadow starts to heal people. I would be more amazed than anyone else. But Paul, he did that. He passed, and people just getting healed. And this man went to pray and said, "Lord, just do it, please, for me." And the Lord said, "No. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Don't worry, Paul. My grace is enough." How do you cope with things? How do you cope when desperation takes place? How do you cope when concern comes? That's what I want to talk to you today. Because we all have those days. I do. Many of those days. And we need to learn to cope. But to cope with that, first thing we need to understand is, what is the result of discouragement and concern in our lives? What does discouragement and concern produce within us? What will start to do? And the first thing is that discouragement will deform our self-image. Concern and discouragement will transform the way we see ourselves. The way we can see and relate to ourselves. And instead to see, I'm made image and likeness of God. God made me. And the Bible says that I can, and no one can resist me, the Bible says. Instead of that, we start to look to the mirror and say, I'm defeated. I'm a loser. I was a mistake. It's just wrong. We all know someone like that. They look to the mirror and start to say, wow, I'm the best of God's creation. Because that's what the Bible says. say, nothing works for you. You are just, you never do anything right. You never achieve anything. You never conquer anything. It's always a struggle. Your family is not nice. Your job is not nice. Anything is not nice. And that's what many people think. Think that, and then just that discouragement, and just that concern, just they pour more and more and more. And then you see people that sometimes we look and say, what a wonderful life this person must have. And then you see the person just is more miserable than anyone else. You know that actor from Hollywood, he's blonde with a different nose. His name is Owen Wilson. Yeah. He tried to kill himself 5 times. And on the last time I was watching TV and someone asked why, he said, I just have an emptiness inside of me. And nothing can fulfill. No fame, no money, nothing. I said, I don't know something. I think someone shared with him, there is something. But the thing is, it's not money or anything else that can reshape that. Discouragement will take form the way you see yourself. And if you're not seeing yourself on the mirror today as a result of God's love, and that God can do anything with you in the circumstance that you are living, and the person in your family or in your job that is struggling, today is time to allow God to restore the way we see ourselves. Because you are not a mistake. You are not just wrong. Things are never too, or might be difficult now, but let me tell you something. There is an eternity of glory waiting for us. So today, understand that discouragement will try to do that with you and with me. We can see that in the Bible. Elijah, the greatest prophet ever, he was so discouraged one time that he said, Lord, it's done. I don't want to do anything anymore. Take me to heaven. I'm not better than anyone else. What? He parted the river. He just made some amazing miracles. Elijah. But, no, I'm not. He was so deformed that he can see what God wants to do through him. The second thing we need to understand is that discouragement will try to remove us from our responsibilities. I don't want to do that anymore. I can't. That is all discouragement and concern. That's what produces. Look, I can't. Elijah did that with God. He was the biggest prophet. He just defeated 400 prophets of Baal. And all of a sudden, I can't anymore. Really, I'm tired. I'm looking for something else now. Sorry, it's too hard, too difficult. And then you see families coming apart, ministries being destroyed, and many other things happening because people are so deformed and then allow the discouragement and that concern to take so much space that they just abandon everything. Let me tell you, discouragement and concern will try to do that with you. Don't worry. I'm not prophesying anything here. But discouragement and concern comes to everyone. And it didn't come yet, will come one day. The day that you wake up and say, I don't want to do that anymore. Even things that you know you should. Even things that you know you are called to. How many people just give up their ministries because it's too hard? How many people just give up what they are called to do because it's just not working the way that they want? Something that I always say when people come to me and say, no, I can't do that. I said, why? Because the only reason that I would accept that is if you listen to God saying to you, you are not called to do that anymore, do something else. That may happen. saying, look, now we'll change the focus of our life. But if it's because of someone else, or because it's too difficult, or too hard, or too something else, let me tell you, God is too big for that. I remember someone came to me when I was in Brazil, and came with his son. He was 16 years old, son. And she said, I can't cope with this anymore. He's a drug addict. He's stealing our money. He's destroying our family. I can't. If you will say to me, he's good, take for you. She said that to me. I'm not returning with it to my house. And I look at her and said, let me tell you something. That's exactly what the devil said to God about you. And you know what God did? God sent his son to die for you. To not just take you, but to buy every single debt that you had. And we sent that boy to a rehabilitation. And we took care of him as a child. And that boy, full of everything wrong you can imagine, he did. But this boy now is healed, transformed, and he's working in a rehabilitation clinic as one of the leaders of that rehabilitation. He did a nursing degree.
Yeah.
His name is Fabio, and he's doing amazing things for the Lord. Don't look to things and say, I can't cope with that. You know, I'm leaving. You know that the largest church in the world is in South Korea. It's 1.2 million members, one local church. But this church started with 8 people. 0, 8. 8. Less than 10 people. And one day when the church was 70 people, the pastor got depression. His name is Paul Yonshu. And got so anxious and so angry that he said, you know what, I can't. And the ladies group came to him and said, you know what, you will not give up, but you will take some 3 or 6 months holiday. Go, allow God to heal you, and then you come back. And those ladies run the church from 80 people to more than 2,000 people in 1 year. When he came back, he was completely healed, and the church still tried. Don't abandon your responsibilities because of concern or discouragement. If you are thinking to give up about something, don't do it. Before you leave this building, talk to me. I want to pray with you. Look, I was an atheist. I became atheist when I was 15 years old. I didn't believe in anything. And I didn't remember that. My pleasure was to talk with Christian people to prove that they were wrong. When I was 16 years old, I was recruited by a philosophical group that was developing to just spread atheism in Brazil. That was my plan. And my mom and my father, they were believers. And I remember I left and I did many things on my weekends and didn't care about anything, but I remember many times when I arrived at my house, 6 o'clock in the morning, when I was 18, 17, and my mom was there sleeping on her knees, praying for me. She never gave up. God's calling you. Don't allow discouragement and concern to make you to give up. Will you work? The other thing is that discouragement leads us to blame others. I know that doesn't happen here. I know. You are so good, guys. I love you. I do love you. But let me tell you something. When I was in Gansi and in Brazil, people used to blame others. You know, the weird people. But they used to. The guilty was always someone else. And I love, look, we do a lot of counseling to couples, Danny and I. And I love when they arrive because they never do anything wrong. Pastor, let me tell you what she does to me. Let me tell you what this man is when he arrives at home. And I said, well, what do you do? I do nothing. I'm really good with him. Or I'm really good with her. I said, all right. That's different, but all right. That's exactly like that since Adam and Eve. When God arrived in the paradise, and Adam was even more I hope you don't see it. Why you are not growing your professional life? Oh, it's important. Why you are not having a nice these? And then we always blame others for everything. Always. It's time to stop. It's time to take our responsibility. Discouragement and concern will try and will try and will lead us to do that. But let me tell you something. If you start to go to this path, you will never grow. You will never grow. Look, even Elijah, the man that again as a prophet, he did that. He started just to blame others. And he started saying, you know, Lord, but all these prophets, all that queen, I can't cope with them. Everybody left me. And God said, come on. It's not like that. Lord, I'm alone. No, you're not. We'll talk about that in a minute. So don't blame others. And the last thing that I'd like to say about that is that discouragement will change the way you see the facts. The fear will don't allow you to see right. And then we see situations that are supposed to encourage us and discourage us. Look, one time Elijah went to the Lord and said, I don't want to do anything anymore, Lord, because I'm alone. Everybody that was Christian or godly on that time died. And you know that he was in the environment of around 50 to 100,000 people. And then God said to him, no, Elijah, there is 7,000 that is still faithful to me. Look, it's not 7,000 that used to go to church, but 7,000 faithful people that God said they were faithful on God's pattern. In an environment of 50,000 people, that was a lot. But when we are discouraged, we can't see it. We can't see glimpses of glory. We can't see what is happening that is good. But it's time to change that. Don't look to situations thinking that, oh, that's the end. Is it finished? There's nothing I can do about it. Look back. And then we allow just fear, and then we start to feed ourselves with fear and more discouragement and anxiety, and we start to get angry, and we start to get disappointed, and we isolate ourselves, and all of a sudden we just can't do anything anymore. But discouragement and concern will do that with you. But it's time to change the game today and say, hey, I'm a different person. God can do anything. Amen?
Amen.
Don't allow discouragement to change the way you see the past. And what about our concerns? Are you concerned about anything now? Are you? Maybe you are concerned with the length of the service.
No.
Amen. Maybe you are concerned with the length of my preaching. That is concerned with our lunch. But what about our concern? Guys, before I finish the sermon, you pray with me or the service. For when Doug and I we are together, she remembers so graciously that if you need anything else for the teaching. What about our concerns? Look, the University of Harvard in America came with a study about concern 5 years ago. You can find it on Google. It's amazing. It's 100 pages. A study about concern in a very easy language, even for a proceeding to understand. So it says that 40% of everything that we are concerned about simply don't happen. That means that 40% of what you spend time wondering and concerning about will never happen. Just never does. You just spend time and energy in your life thinking about that, but never will happen. 30% of what we are concerned already happened. That's true. Sometimes I just remember something that happened, and I get anxious, and I go through all that emotions again, but it already happened.
Yeah.
We can't change what happened. We can change what will happen, and how we deal with what happened, but not what happened. 20% is connected to ideas or situations that we cannot change. No matter what you do, you cannot change. You cannot. You can pray about it, but it's not your power to change. So, in summary, 92% of our concerns are unnecessary. That's not what he's saying, it's the University of Harvard that is talking about. So we allow all that concern, all that struggle, all that discouragement to take place, but even people not talking about God say, hey guys, it's not like that. There is a lot more to life than what we are experiencing at the moment. Few people that understood that, and I'd like to share with you. Beethoven, do you know that Beethoven, he was dead? Almost completely dead. But he was a brilliant composer and pianist. You know that Martin Luther, the man that did the Christian reform, do you know that he was so depressed during the reform that one-third of the day he could not even leave his bed? We are talking about a man that defeated the Catholic Church of that time and just made Bibles a popular thing to everyone. Look, the reform! This giant of faith! This man was in depression. And one-third or two or three days, 2 days on a week, he was on bed the whole day. But he didn't stop. William Carey, that is called the man of the modern mission, he was from a small Baptist church in America that never invested $1 on his ministry. Seriously. The man of modern mission, he won millions in Africa for Jesus. His church never invested $1 because they didn't have $1 to invest in him. He didn't stop because of that. Johnny is a lady that is always with Billy Graham, or she was always with Billy Graham when she preached. She painted with her mouth because she's quadriplegic. She wrote books. And she sold more than 20 million books around the world, talking how good God is. Mother Teresa was poor, tiny, shy, from a very poor and humble family, but she inspired the world with her wisdom. Paul was persecuted. Paul was beaten. Can you imagine this guy? Really? 5 times he received 40 lashes minus one. 3 times beaten with rods. He was stoned, shipwrecked. He was in prison. He was starving. Can you imagine someone coming to interview here to become the next minister when I leave? And you say, tell me about your previous ministry. Oh, I received 5 times 40 lashes minus one. I was 3 times beaten with rod, and I was stoned. I spent the last 5 years, I think almost 3 in prison. I've been hunger, I've been with disease and many problems. And can you give us someone that can guarantee you? Oh, let me tell you, the last 3 places that I went, people just expelled me and put me out and tried to kill me. Would you like this minister? Huh? Do you think couldn't be anyone more weird than I? Really? But we wouldn't accept, would I? No! Safeguarding, don't come close to my children, you know. For other reasons, we would look and say, huh. But this is a man that changed it and wrote more than 1/3 of the New Testament. The thing is, they didn't stop, all of those people. Why are we stopping? Why are we allowing concern and struggle to win the war against us? It's time to change. It's time to defeat discouragement and concern. Amen?
Yeah.
Do you want that?
Yeah.
So let's learn, how can we defeat discouragement and concern? The first thing, we need to act in faith. We need to act positively. Positively? Amen. So let's say all together, maybe you don't listen to me. What? We need to act
positively.
Amen. You see? We need to act in faith. When the world or the devil or anyone is trying to say, you can't, you say, I can't, but God can. Amen. When the world is saying to you, oh, you never ever win this situation, you say, I don't need to, God won on that cross for me. It's time to express our faith verbally. Remember last week when I said about the black dog? I still sometimes see the black dog on the window. If I don't take care, he even opens the door and comes to the room that I am. But then, we need to act. And we need to start to express our faith and do your part. When discouragement comes and say, oh, Louis, you can't. This is rubbish. You never achieve anything. Then you start to praise, and I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I am what the Bible says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Then I'm going where the Bible says I'm going. Profess your faith. Don't accept anything else. Act in faith. And today I'd like to invite you. I'd like to challenge you. It's time to profess your faith. Don't say negative and bad things anymore. Don't look to that difficult boss or son or daughter or anyone or pastor and say, oh. Don't say, it's a blessing in the name of Jesus. I was an atheist doing many things in my teenager years, and I was out of my home doing many things. But every time that I arrived, I remember my mom saying to me, you are a blessing. And I always use her to say, he's a blessing, he will be a great man, he will transform the world. And I just laughed at that time, but it was all prophecy. And the Bible says that the word will never come back empty. So don't look and say, oh, this is a lost case, it's a waste. No. Act in faith. God is alive and he can do anything, and that's what we should do. The second thing is putting our thoughts under the sovereignty of God. In 2 Corinthians 10, 5 says that we need to take our thoughts captive to the Lord in order to obey. So remember, Romans 8, 37, we are more than conquerors, more than victorious in everything we do. You are daughter, you are son of God. And God, when he did you, he did the best that he could do. You are not an accident. You are not here just because you don't have anything else to do or God didn't have anything better to do. You are a result of his love. You are part of himself, God himself. Put your thoughts under the sovereignty of God. And to finish, because I'd like to have a time of prayer. Understand that you are not alone. You are not alone. Look at the person next to you and say that to the person. You are not alone. Amen? I know that sometimes feels like, but you are not alone. There's someone with you that said, I'll be with you until the very end, and he cannot lie. Even when we can't feel him. Lord, where are you? I'm just feeling one or two stones in me. And the Lord is there. I know. I'm taking the majority of it. You are not alone. Look, God put you in a place where you are surrounded by people. And I remember when I said that one time, someone said to me, but Louis, no one calls me. No one visits me. No one talks to me. And I said to the person, and how many calls did you do last week? How many people did you visit last week? And the person said, none. But I would like a visit. I said, ask one. Or visit someone. But sometimes we want things to ourselves, but we are not willing to do it. Look, we're not alone. God put you on this place. Even the Manchester United supporters, God put you on this place.
We've got Russia.
The Bible said that we're supposed to support one another in love. But the thing is, you are not alone. Why on earth would you choose to live alone? God put you in community, in family, and even God Himself, He shows Himself in community. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So don't choose to be alone. Understand that God is with you all the time and He's helping you all the time. And understand that if you need help, I'm here as your pastor, but not just me, everyone else is here. I remember I said to that person, look, I left the car on the back. I said, I'm happy. I said, I don't know what else we can do. Because the church is here for you. Doesn't matter if you need it or not. And sometimes we have some weird thoughts. And we say, oh, but people are too busy for me. Have you ever thought that? Please confess. That's not from God. It's not from God. Or, my problem is not too big, you know what, I'll keep to myself. If you ever thought that, it's not from God as well. Ask help. Find a model that you can follow. Someone on earth already passed what you were passing. And God wants to use your testimony and the testimony of others to help you. That's why the Bible says in James that we would pray for one another and God would heal. Forgive, we'll transform, because we are not alone. Today it's time to defeat concern. It's time to defeat discouragement. But we will defeat when we understand that we are not alone. And today I'd like to finish this message with a different way. I'd like to invite you to pray for someone. And that is because we Portuguese didn't pray with our sisters in the back. Look around. Someone that you'd like to pray with. Louis, I don't know how to pray. You don't need to know anything. Just say, God bless this person. Allow this person to be free from concern and discouragement and just to feel better. But I would like to invite you, no one will be alone. You can be two or three or four, it doesn't matter. But we will pray for one another and I'll close this moment in prayer. If someone remains alone, I'll go to you. So let's find someone. Let's go. Let's find someone and let's pray for one another. And then we'll finish this moment. Pray and ask God, please, to allow the person to be free from concern, discouragement, to be healed, to be transformed, to be blessed. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you may release us from the discouragement. Release us, Father, from the desperation. Release us, Father, from the concern that not comes from you. Allow us, Father, to have our self-image reshaped by you and understand that we are sons and daughters. Father, allow us not to run from our responsibilities, but to do everything that you have for us. Help us not to blame others, not to see things different, Lord, but to act in faith. And Father, faith is what moves us forward to live by what we believe. Help us to put our thoughts under your sovereignty and to obey you, to find a model to follow and to know that we are never alone. Father, I pray that you may bless your sons and daughters with miracles now. I pray that releasing may come and that we may be free, because it's for freedom that you set us free. Father, give us expectation to live a life that you have for us and not to live under feelings and things that are not just, Lord, what you have for us. Set us free today to live in freedom and joy, a life that you have for us. Father, I bless everyone here in this place, and I prophesy that we will do everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. And just while our worship team is coming here, next Saturday we'll have our harvest dinner. Everyone is invited. Please come. Do we need to give a name to everyone? Sure. Do we need to give the name for the dinner?